The signal you are receiving is coming from deep inside of FEMA Region 1, well within the battle lines of the municipal corporation known as the Commonwealth of Taxachusetts, radiating out to the darkest corners of Al Gore's internet from our secret broadcast bunker, cleverly disguised as a middle-class living room. This is Red Pill Politics. Welcome back for dos numero dos of Red Pill Politics, hour number two. We're wrapping up early discussion. Actually, I'm late getting this out, but a discussion on our victory gardens, germination, some of the do's and don'ts of that. And in the first half there, just to summarize, I learned, not to get all excited as my plan pops, and say, wow, look at how big it got. Holy mackerel, the next day is twice as big. Oh, wow, look at that. And a few days into it, they're laying over on their side, crimped and dead. All right, just because I didn't give them enough light. Grow lights are great. You know, they're cheap and inexpensive right now. I recommend it if you're going to really invest in a few flats of what is going to be a good amount of food to go out into your garden. All right, invest that little bit. Because it will absolutely help the situation. Because you don't have enough light, I don't think, in your windowsill to sustain them. And especially right now when the daylight hours are physically shorter than they need to be. Because you got to get up there to 14, 16 hours of good, steady light consistently every day to simulate the phase in which you want those plants to go into. Because if you give them light and temperature cues that says fruit, okay, create fruit now, and you've got a tiny little plant, the confusion is going to materialize in a plant that just totally struggles. You got to give it what it wants when it needs it. For that, you're going to have to know a little bit. So one of the first things I recommended is getting some books, some literature. Download things now on your computer. Well, things are up and going. At least have them there. Print them out if you can or want. But go in and find some decent books. And I don't mean garbage. Be discerning. Find some good stuff and put it in your library. Put it in your prepper library because that's going to be priceless. All right. We can cover a little bit of things, but there's pros out there that get into the biology of particular types of vegetables and fruit. Soil's super important, and I'm probably biased towards that, but get that information. You can't go wrong. It's something government can't take once you know something, right? Your intelligence, the information you have in your head is something government can never take from you. So, let's move on. Maybe some current events. There's a lot going on in the world, and I don't know where to start here. The government, because they feel that we would be very disappointed and near panicky if government was no longer funded. I personally think that's a pretty weak argument to the American people, is to say, government might shut down if we don't pass this $1.2 trillion budget. Every time the government says we might shut down if, I want to say, shut up right there. Shut down. Shut the hell down and shut the hell up. $1.2 trillion. And again, it's one of those midnight specials, slap down, yep, got to vote on that tomorrow. Right? Yeah, and it is, the reason they do things like that is because they know we got short memories. Go back, a decade or so, even before the Tea Party era, What the heck bill was it? Another one of these big omnibus things that went through. And, you know, the people were temporarily in an uproar about clean legislation. All right, they often put these things are called riders. You know, they'll take a must-pass omnibus bill and like monkeys at the zoo start throwing crap against the wall hoping something sticks. And they're funding all kinds of things. Remember the bridge to nowhere up in Alaska, Sarah Palinville? And then people looked in and, wow, what crazy funding for a bridge to nowhere. And they looked a little longer and go, the last time you wanted funding for the road to the bridge to nowhere. It's a great big road. It kind of, who knows how many millions of dollars. But, I mean, studying the reproductive habits of grasshoppers in space. I could go on for the whole rest of the show just reading a list of government-funded jackassery. And this budget's no different. Stuffed full of little progressive goodies. Little nuggets of Marxism to drive that taproot deeper. All right, they're making that root system vast as they can. Are there things in there to prevent the invasion that's going on right now? No, we can't defend our own borders. Yet they're trying to start World War III over with Russia. I'm so tired of hearing progressives invoke Russia. Whether it's with their attack on Trump. I mean, they just attack Russia just because. And Russia's a threat mostly. It's not because they want to conquer the whole world and they're going to nuke the whole world. It's not because of that. It's because they don't allow central bankers and CBDC. They don't allow groomers near their kids. Things like that. They can. That's one thing. They do not have any foothold in the schools in Russia. None. And for that, because the globalists realize you can't co-opt the newest generation of kids. You know, this is an integral part of the process. You can't. They can't fulfill what they want to do in nations who don't give them access to their children. This is a primary reason why Russia is so hated. And I'm not saying Putin's an angel, but they're certainly not the Soviet Union of old. Things have changed. He is no angel. But who out there is? Is it Ukraine? We're being told it's Ukraine, that they're, you know, poor Ukraine. Yeah, and giving them truckloads of money. And where is it going? Well, we just found out the other day, some of it is going to send mercenaries over to Russia into their shopping malls and annihilate innocent people, civilians. I don't know how many war crimes are currently being deployed. The United States got fingerprints all over. And right now, they're just not going to let up on this facade. And they came out and told early on the Mockingbirds and all the government apparatus came out almost immediately identifying these people as ISIS, who, by the way, is a creation and is basically CIA and Mossad. They were created by our deep state intelligence. Well, they caught a whole bunch of them. They went in, they did what they did. They met up, rendezvoused, and were heading for the Ukrainian border. And Russia intelligence, of course, was all over this and apprehended them. And they began identifying them, and they were from the Ukrainian military. I don't know what the response is going to be from Russia. I don't think it's going to be a nuclear response, although that's, again, what the mockingbirds are putting out there. You know, but what is going to be that reaction? Russia is not going to take this forever. In Ukraine, the people themselves have been consistently kind of turning on Zelensky. He's in some deep doo-doo, that guy. A complete creation, too. He's all Hollywood, this guy. He's just a social media influencer and a resident pervert over there? I mean, what claim to fame does he have? Is he a brilliant military tactician? Is he a brilliant economist? I mean, what is his claim to fame other than wearing assless chaps and twerking on social media? I don't know what people need to see before they realize our foreign policy completely co-opted outside of any domestic control at all. We've just become little tools of this rogue and ever-changing worldview. It's one of domination and complete despotism wrapped up in this thing called the spread of democracy. That's what our foreign policy is all about, because we freaking love everybody around the world the way we love the American people, says government. And we want to spread democracy. Why don't they want to spread constitutional republics? Because there's a difference. One is top down and the other is bottom up. No surprise that they chose the top down. $1.2 trillion. And sadly, you know what? Americans are going to run out on April 15th with a spring in their step, making damn sure that the IRS, a private collection agency, gets their little donation. I'm waiting for the day America really wakes up, closes its checkbook while you still have one, right? But don't worry. Once the economy collapses, you're not going to have to ever worry about tax season again. Right? How's that for good news? Oh, hell no. We love you so much. We don't want you to worry about ever getting pinched by the IRS. In fact, we're going to do away with the IRS. Yes, we may have a new department of CBDC taxation and auditing, you know, but we won't have an IRS. We'll have something else. And here's the beauty of it all is you don't have to do anything. Is that government will calculate how much you owe the crown and they will just take it. You don't have a filing deadline. You don't have to sign anything. We'll just take it. How's that for convenience? Isn't that something? Am I exaggerating? Is that impossible? Is there anyone going to tell me, oh, no, the government would never do that? You know, what proof could you possibly have that, you know, government's put into place any of those elements that could carry that out? Well, they're all in place. The technology's all there. They openly talk about it. Did you know, I saw a few months ago, stores up in Canada are already beginning to condition the sheeple so that when they walk up in front of a display case, right, because you're going to be limited on how much meat you can eat, and if your allowance of your meat intake for the month has been exceeded, display cases won't even open for you. Yes, they scan you. They'll scan whatever they decide to do, whether it's a chip under your skin or a card that you carry that has your entire life on it. Your score after AI has evaluated your bank accounts. Is there any funny activity there? After AI has scanned all your social media, have you put any posts up there that might be problematic? The smart meters. Oh, remember when those used to be sexy and in all the conspiracy theory forums? You know, the technology's there. Years ago, we were talking about these smart meters that are now, we're hearing in the Internet of Things, where everything, your toaster is going to have an IP address, your blender is going to have an IP address, everything electric will have an IP address. If it plugs into the wall, it will communicate with your smart meter, and they will be able to tell what you're using and when. Most literally, when you're watching TV, what you're watching on TV, your TV will watch and listen to you right back when you go out and make yourself a snack. Or maybe you are running your clothes dryer during peak periods, so now they can turn around and charge you fivefold for every kilowatt that you use if you do not listen to us. Or they may say, we're not going to give you the opportunity to violate a rule. We love you that much. We're just going to turn your dryer off. You can't turn it on. You can't violate that way. You're welcome. How about that? 1.2 trillion dollars. And that's only for 6 months. Yeah, that's just to keep government going, because you all were so afraid that government was going to be defunded and shut down. I mean, I'm not sure if you were writing letters to your senator saying, oh, please, you know, cut yourselves a check. Don't shut down, whatever you do. Please don't shut down. I can't imagine you not there to tell me what the fuck to do. Sorry about that, network sponsors. I just don't get it. $1.2 trillion. We're up in the trillions now. When I was born, I can't remember what the national budget was then. You know, we're talking about millions then. And now trillions. They're intentionally imploding this nation economically. No, thinking that we'll just make it so bad that we alleviate, we destroy other options and leave only one. We'll keep telling the vassals there's only one option. It is this option. Although this is a problem of our creation, we are the solution as well. Take the CBDC or be turned off as an individual human being. $1.2 trillion is absolutely amazing. We're not going to know what that's funding for who knows how long. They were given less than 24 hours to pass it. Well, you started out in the beginning of the show, or the beginning of the segment, talking about how at one point, not too long ago, we were taking government to task for clean legislation that we wanted. 72 hours is all we were asking for. 3 days to be able to read and consume and understand legislation before it came up to a vote. And no more were you going to put things in at midnight, stuck to this big must-pass thing. So you can't possibly not pass this bill for funding for the elderly and the military and the schools and children. You know, you're not going to harm children, are you? You've got to fund this. This has to pass, even with all this garbage on it. Oh, man. I don't even want to talk about level budgets anymore. I don't want to hear campaign promises about level budgets anymore. I want to talk about budgets that have been cleaved in half. Entire sections that are just crossed right out. You know, screw the level funding. We've been overfunding things for decades. It's time to start really cutting away. You're never going to get local control of anything unless you get rid of these bad apples that are just sucking up your tax dollars left and right. Unbelievable. All right, got another caller online here. Rich, Massachusetts. How are you, Rich?
Hey, Dave. Hey, how are you?
How are you?
Pretty good. Good timing there. I was getting myself all ticked off over here talking about that $1.2 trillion budget that was just passed in the Senate. What do you think of that? Is there anything in there for you and your community?
More oppression.
Yeah. Jeez.
That's what it's for, right?
Oh, man. Some of the things are starting to dribble out right now that are, you know, it's a progressive wish list. For them, for us, I see nothing in there that's going to deal with the invasion. I see nothing in there that's going to fix the economy, what's going on in the schools. In fact, it fuels all those things.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong. I understand there is a gun control measure in there, too.
Oh, yeah. Have they ever failed not to put some kind of gun control on this stuff? Yeah, I was looking to get a hold of a good friend of ours from Guns and Gadgets and see what he says.
Yeah,
Jared Yanis, yeah.
Well, I have some uplifting news for you.
Oh, good.
Obviously, here on the local level is where we're going to win our fights. You know, it's bottom up. That's the kind of society or country we're supposed to have. And I am at a standout in Ludlow for Belisarius. And she is vying for controlling member on the school committee. There are five members, three bad, two good, and one of them is up for re-election, and she's out. Right now, it looks like we're outdoing the opposition, and we're trying to get everybody in Lolo out to vote for her. I know you had her on the show. You had some citizens on the show. A couple of them are here now. And you know, on the surface, everything looks great. They're doing everything they need to do, but we still need to make sure our people come out to vote because we know what the other side has in store.
Yeah. Now, during one of those interviews, and it was a thing that bothered me the most of all the things that we talked about and said, but one of the gentlemen there, Rick, when I asked him, why are the parents not out there in massive numbers? Why is the room not overflowing? Why are they not facing not one but dozens of lawsuits? And he immediately, without hesitation, says, Dave, you know, when I'm out and about, people approach me, they email me, they call me, and they support 100% what we're doing. They get it. They don't like it. But at the same time, without fail, these people, they say, the only reason I don't say something or do something is that I'm afraid they're going to take my children. They're literally afraid they're going to come under attack by the local administrators, DCF, and come after their children for speaking out. To me, it's infuriating.
Oh, that is absolutely true. And of course, that particular man has been very involved, not just in this issue, but many others. Obviously a lifelong resident here, he knows them well. And, you know, when this all started, these people had decades of time on us. And when the parents finally discovered what had happened because of the activity in a classroom that the teacher made, had brought to light, they all were angry. But before long, they were outflanked. People tried to divide them. And there's some were intimidated. And they were afraid. They were afraid there was going to be retaliation against the kids, which is frightening because the ones who should have been worried have been the ones bringing this on. But because we let it go so long, like our budget, is what we get. So in the last 4 years, when the parents' groups really started coalescing, they have gotten two members of that school committee, strong ones, They can hold the other three at abeyance, but they can't outvote them most times. And people have been threatened. Of course, we know DCF's in there, too. And a lot of people are also waiting for people to be strong. Because, quite frankly, there were a couple of candidates that came out, and they weren't as strong as they needed to be. And people are saying, okay, what's being accomplished, if they even know? So you had the one, not enough people knew what was going on and more are now. And two, they wanted to see exactly how far this was going to go before they jumped in. But I will tell you, more and more people are coming out of the woodwork. Parents have been approaching the two friendly school committee members and Bella, saying, hey, look, this is what's happening to my kid. This is what's going on with us. And they said, we want something done or we're sick of the behavior, because these people literally act like Bolsheviks, because they are. They really are. We have a Satanist that's out there holding a sign for them. Self-avowed one, and their people have been threatening on social media, but our guys have responded. They have countered every silly argument and gone on the attack. That's what we've done. Our people here have actually gone on the offensive saying, this is what you've done. Why didn't you do this? You're the ones who have done that. You're the ones who will put the kids in this danger, and why can't your own candidate speak?
Yeah, and they are not accustomed to having people come out and get in their face and you know, oppose them in general. They just break down and call names at that point. You know, so that's very telling, and enough people are seeing it. But I want to expound a little bit on what I said earlier. You know, Rick did say that, and that does stir me up. And, you know, it's a frightening statistic to hear. But I want to point out that there's a difference between a parent like that that's afraid to be very outspoken and in their face versus that same person when it comes time to vote. Yeah, I'm not saying these people aren't going to vote your way. I think that's where you're going to see them express themselves. It might be the only way. But if you get out a message like Bella has done that is one of parental rights, okay, that is something that they will come out and support, I believe. But they do have to start standing now, because I said this when you and I spoke before. What's happening in Ludlow is the early creation of a very significant voting bloc that doesn't have to be tied to a party. It has to be tied to a small government philosophy, a responsive government. All right, and that I think is critical, because you could see your school committee be a springboard into a real marching right through your local town and getting rid of, because I'm telling you, there's progressives exactly like the ones on the school committee that you're about to get rid of, that are on your board of health, that are in your conservation commission, or on your select board. They're everywhere, and they cross support each other, and so do we. So as your voting bloc grows, help them understand that they are part of something pretty significant here, and retaining them beyond Bella's victory is going to be important. I hope that happens.
Well, you know, you hit on something very, very key and important. When these parents got together, they got together because they had a legitimate concern. This was not some political group getting together or an apparatus. So they could reach the next level or carve out a career or revenue stream for themselves. It was the exact opposite. Our opposite numbers are the ones that get rewarded with the government of this, hence the budgets that we see.
Yeah. But hey, Rich, I got a break coming up on me, but I want you to stay on the line and finish your thought, okay? So stick with us till after the break. Everyone out there, hit the share button. This is Red Pill Politics, and you're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. We'll be right back after these messages.
I need a favor. God, I need a favor. I know amazing days, but I ain't been living them worse. Swear I spend more Sundays drunk off my ass than I have in church. Hardcover King James, only been saving dust on the nightstand. And I don't know what to say by the time I fold my hands. I only talk to God when I need a favor. And I only pray when I ain't got a prayer. So who the hell am I? Who the hell am I to expect a savior?
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
One of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs. For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for Hemp Paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few highlights. Extendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I have been using Extendivite for many years. Great product. I use regularly, and I rarely get sick. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendovite.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Attention, freedom-loving patriots. Are you ready to dive deep into the principles that founded our great nation? Join me, Peter Serafine, and the Institute on the Constitution as we light the way to a brighter future with the Liberty Lighthouse Classroom. At liberty-lighthouse.com/classroom, you'll find a treasure trove of online courses on the U.S. Constitution, carefully crafted to empower you with knowledge to defend your rights and liberty. Whether you're a student, a history enthusiast, or just a concerned citizen, these courses are for you. Gain a comprehensive understanding of our Constitution's principles, the wisdom of our founding fathers, and how to apply them in today's world. As a special offer to our freedom-loving listeners of Republic Broadcasting Network, use coupon code RBN at checkout and get 20% discount on any course. Join the Liberty Lighthouse Classroom and be a part of the movement to uphold the values that have made our nation exceptional. Unleash the power of knowledge and protect what truly matters, our Constitution. Visit liberty-lighthouse.com/classroom today. Don't miss this incredible opportunity. Use code RBN for 20% off. Together, we'll be the beacon of freedom our founding generation envisioned. Liberty Lighthouse Classroom. Illuminating minds, empowering patriots.
Did you know the IRS publicly admits that income tax is collected by voluntary compliance? Get the information you need to help you avoid income tax with these five easy steps. All you have to do is go to avoidincometax.com to get your five easy steps on how to avoid the IRS income tax. Escape the IRS. Let avoidincometax.com help you. We guarantee our five easy steps or your money back. Go to avoidincometax.com.
Told you that it's going to be a short break. You're listening to Red Pill Politics at the Republic Broadcasting Network, our weekly slot, 11 a.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Eastern and 10 a.m. Central. All right, same bat time, same bat channel every week. You can check us out. We obviously have the live stream feed at republicbroadcasting.org. If you would like to opt in to greater participation, which we also recommend, is there's folks over at redpillpolitics.chattango.com. And as well, the live stream feed that we put out on Rumble. Look us up and please do subscribe. Give us a thumbs up. Leave comments, links, and stuff like that down in the permanent comments so that they travel with the video. All right. We want this to travel as a resource as a whole. But you can participate in the live text chat there as well, as we throw a live feed out every week during the show on our Rumble channel, which you can access at redpillpolitics.tv. All there in the right-hand navigation bar, very easy to find. And also, the specials over at Republic Broadcasting Network. There's different specials every month. I highly recommend that you go there often and check it out. Lots of cool stuff. That way you can participate, whether it's the Book of Month Club. There's lots of cool raffles and things that take place. But we recommend that you support where you can. Check it out and check it out often. We are joined right now with Rich from Massachusetts. He is on site at a rally for a guest that I'm hoping to get on the show for to do a little victory lap here. Bella Soares is a very important candidate right now. The election, I believe, is this Monday, and she will be the third out of five people on their school committee. They will all of a sudden have a voting majority of normies. All right, Rich, you tell me the good things are happening. We were talking just before the break, and I heard horns and stuff going off, so... sounds like things are going pretty good there. Are you getting good feedback from the people? I know that's where you're at. It's a pretty busy area. How's the feedback?
A lot of horns. We had, I think we just increased our numbers out here by 50% for the standout. We had a team just pop right in and join us. Some of the churches had let out. Picking up on your point we had before the break, Dave, the reason these people are as successful as they are, they came together as a citizens group trying to get a redress, for their grievances and what was happening with the school system, and they were rebuffed. They were rebuffed. They were attacked. They were outflanked. They were ambushed. And that's been going on for the last 4 years. We had two members come on, and they made a big difference, and Bella promises to be the third member to take control of this board. And it's been so significant, and I'm not doing this as a partisan plug by any means, but they even took over the Republican Town Committee, and they're running it as a citizen committee, not as an apparatus to feed, some other nefarious sources. But
they've taken over. They don't expect any help from the state party, because the state party is largely impotent. So, as long as that same clique of people. But, they're going to, as they move forward with this, there is ingrained in the American voter this dipolar thing between Republicans and Democrats. Is you're going to find it tougher to recruit some of the normie Democrats, the few that exist out there, the classic liberals that want to raise their own children and that type of thing, small responsive government. They do exist, just beaten down by progressives. And it may be a tougher transition to get them on board with a group that's strictly associated with the GOP. I'm just guessing. What do you think?
Yeah, exactly. And again, you know, nobody's going anywhere near the state party at this point. But the reason I bring that up is people, don't forget, Trump is running as a Republican. So it's a necessary evil to get involved in some of this. But and other people have different roads. I know you have another road, and that's a good one, too.
But Trump's got an opportunity, though, and I've always said this, is that if he gets in like a communist wrecking ball, and he can destabilize, and I don't mean that in a insurgent way. I mean by getting in with the executive pen and undoing some horrible things that were put into place by the executive pen, by the way he manages the expansion or contraction of particular federal agencies. He can shake opportunity loose in our towns all over, not just Ludlow, but you know, that destabilization is opportunities for us. That's why I've never failed to say that the ultimate solution, although Trump's going to do his thing, he is only going to create opportunities for us to come in like the tide, to flood
that
back
into
government.
That is correct. And I think, and it's a similar movement right down to the reactions. The reactions are at that level that we see very plainly. It's also at the local level and everything in between, as you know. They come up with the same tax, it's the same group, it's the same evil forces. And I you know, when you mean to stabilize, I agree with you. And it's not the stabilizing the legitimate government, which is not even followed. It's that state within the state apparatus, which has undermined our way of life that we're trying to erode. And that's why they're nervous.
The stakeholders, there's a lot of people involved in this, Rich, and it trickles into your local school committees. Are these stakeholders, and I call them the new Soviet, but, you know, agencies and nonprofits and, you know, DESE and all of these, they just have a way of permeating if you allow them to. So once they operate autonomously, realize that, you know, their membership in many of these organizations are voluntary. All right.
That's simply
voluntary.
Well, I'll give you a case in point. When this whole mess broke 4 years ago, we had two members on that school board. One later became a state rep and then a state senator, state representative and state senator. He was the leading catalyst for all of this garbage and this sewage that hit the school system. And he's the one that kicked back on the parents. The other fellow was a guy who actually ran against him as a Republican. Would have beaten him, except he joined a progressive Republican governor here in denouncing Trump a month before the election. And he lost by 20 votes. Had won, and we all pulled support from him. That's who we were dealing with on the school board. So the one quasi-friendly voice couldn't be depended on. And now they've turned it. We have two, potentially three now, which we think is going to happen. And it doesn't stop from there, because next year there's another guy up for re-election. We're going to, you know, contend him as well.
So, yeah, that works both ways, because they do that with us. But too many times we'll go out there, identify a threat, we'll organize, and we'll actually be able to win, prevail. But then we go right back to sleep and think that, oh, we won. They're never going to try that again. Well, that we know that's not the case, because they come back year after year. And sometimes you can't reintroduce something for 2 years, but, you know, they come right back. And we cannot be any different. That's just what was meant by constant vigilance and, you know, a government of, by, and for the people. You know, government is not supposed to be separate of us. We are supposed to be government.
We've
got to reestablish that relationship.
And, you know, we went to sleep back in 2020. Trump was in there. He was taking care of a lot of the business that needed to be taken care of. People thought, okay, I'm just going to go vote like I did before. And when the mess happened, people were taken aback. The good news here in Ludlow is, because of so many of the travails these folks had, including having a number of the people in their own groups lose heart, try to compromise, didn't work, cost them a lot, but then they grew back again with stronger people. They have not gone to sleep. They're always out there because there are constantly things happening. And one of the themes here is, the election isn't over tomorrow. Should even, you know, Bella win, which we think she will, you know, it's not over. They have to stand. They have to be out there. They have to help support these folks once they're there. Because we know that apparatus and the administration and the teachers unions and Department of Education types are going to try to undermine it. They're already working on it.
Yeah, you're going to want to keep them engaged for a variety of reasons, the least of which is just to make sure they're there for the next go-around when you take the next committee seat away. But in the interim, you've got to keep that that voting bloc educated. They have to know what's going on, how that sausage is made, because that's as big of an epiphany for a lot of these voters, I think, is not just the details of the nasty stuff you're trying to get rid of, but the, you know, like I said, how that sausage is made. Many times when people get engaged in these things, it's their first glimpse of how government works. And when they see these blind attacks and the special interest groups, the impacts and, you know, the fear that unions instill in people, you know, that's very off-putting. But it's an epiphany they come to many times with, like I said, the details of the gender cult. So that's good stuff. It sounds like good things are happening there. There's some persistence, which is what I like and why, you know, I've supported wherever and whenever I can, is because I've seen this carry out now over three or four election cycles. And you're building momentum in the right direction. You and I know people that have run campaigns season after season after season and collect a laundry list of losses, trend downwards, yet they keep on going and wasting our time and attention. You've got the opposite. You're trending upwards. You're now chalking up victories, and that momentum I hope we capitalize on. Because you guys are a perfect example, and you're tuned into this, Rich, of the importance of laying out the foundation for government right in our towns.
Right.
It's direct control over a lot of things, plus you are the final shield against things that come in at the federal and state level are always enforced at the local level. So good stuff. I still hear the horns and everything. It sounds like you're having great feedback there. What I'd like you to do, Rich, two things. One is I want to make sure that you get a hold of the candidate and you have
She's right here now if you want to talk to her briefly.
Sure, I would love to talk to her and get a website for you guys where people can track.
Your public wants to hear from you.
Oh, hello?
Hi, Bella. This is Dave. We got you live on the air here. Rich has
How you doing, Dave?
Good. Rich has filled us in. It sounds like you guys are having a great event. And I was about to ask him that, you know, when you were free, to try to pencil you in for a little victory show. I'd love to hear from you and some of the other board members, and we're anticipating good things.
So yeah, absolutely. So right now we're in front of the Mass Pike doing a standout. We're doing some dancing here, which is great. Tomorrow is a crucial day. We need everybody out from Ludlow to come out and vote for me. Isabel Maria Soares is what will be on the ballot for school committee. You know, the time is now. We have to change our school systems around. It's not even change our school system. It's time to change the way things were. And that's why we need everyone to get out there and vote, because it starts with one person leading the pack and a bunch of others will follow.
And your message really is one of back to basics and parental rights.
Yes, parental rights.
That shouldn't be a scary thing, and it's not a scary thing, at least not to the voters in town. It seems to drive the progressives absolutely crazy, but that's really what, if I were to summarize that in one sentence, that's pretty much what the campaign and the subsequent movement, because you've now got, I was talking to Rich about this, you've got the nucleus and the beginnings of a voting bloc in your community, which could have influence and positive impact on the other boards.
That absolutely, yes. Because, I mean, right now it's going 3-2 against. With me on, it'll bring it as 3-2-4, and we can make a lot of changes, and that's what we want. We want the parents to start coming out, voicing their opinions. We want these children to start coming out and voicing their opinions as well. we shouldn't censor anybody, you know, and that's what it's come down to. The media has portrayed us all as terrorists, the ones that do speak up, and I'm trying to eliminate that because it's we have the freedom of speech. Everybody has to remember that, and we need to sit here and we need to start voicing our opinions and saying what's right and what's wrong, and we got to change things. It's the only way it's going to get done.
Yeah, you know, and there's the tough part about serving in local government or any layer of government for that matter. I don't know if you've served before. I have. I totally agree with your philosophy of everyone has a voice and should be heard. But what really where the tires meet the road on a good public servant is you've got to be able to. Because people are going to come and ask you because they feel very passionately and very strong about something in particular, and they're going to ask you to do something unconstitutional. You know, whether it's a ban on something. That's why things like pornography, because this is part of what we're talking about. You're not out to ban pornography. You're out to keep it out of the schools. Because bans on things always have a way of getting carried away. But, you know, people are going to come up to you and ask you to do unconstitutional things. And in those cases, you've got to say, oh, well, you know what? As much as I agree with you on A, B, and C, this is not the role of government. We need people in government that know their limits and can explain that to their constituents. Because, you know, it's possible to get a re-election vote out of a constituent that you had to say no to, but educated them on why, you know, because correct. You don't want an expansion of government just for somebody to get their own way.
That's right. And you know, it goes back, like everyone keeps telling me, I'm not banning anything. That's them putting words into my mouth.
Right.
I've said it before and I'll say it again. These books that have pornography in them, it needs to go to a subcommittee meeting. And what I want to do for a subcommittee meeting is I want to get taxpayers, teachers, parents. I mean, if we have to put in a 17-year-old child in there too, and they go and read through these books, let's put that together. You know, let's come together and make a decision. Okay, maybe these are not appropriate for 6th, 7th, and 8th graders, because that is actually one of the books that I did read. And that book is called Looking for Alaska. If anybody goes to booklooks.org and they look up Looking for Alaska, it will give you a review of that book, how many swears are in it, and it even has passages from that book. And anybody can go and read that book. That is in our middle school library. That is a book I took out and I read at a school committee meeting.
It's like horrible. I've got several books.
Not age appropriate at all. And it even says minor restricted right on it as well.
Well, let me ask you something, Bella. Part of the problem here, and it stems back going years. I can remember when sex ed was first introduced to potentially be included in the school curriculums. And parents, they were in an uproar just at the notion of having sex ed done by the schools. Well, it got in. But here's the environment around that is that each town was given the right to say yes or no, give it a thumbs up or a thumbs down. However, if you said yes, if you gave it a thumbs up, you were not allowed to micromanage it. You pretty much got the protocols and programs that they delivered in what we see from the state apparatus and DESE and special interest groups. So if it came down to where it was like an all or nothing, whether, you know, because let's say they don't let you take this stuff out of the curriculum, they dig their heels in and say, you said we could, and this is what we're doing. All right. Is it among the possibilities to suggest that the town reconsider including sex ed at all, because you can give it a thumbs down if they want all or nothing, you know, and that becomes the only way to protect the majority of kids from the minority of perverts. Would you do it?
Yeah, I mean, that's a consideration, but I mean, and going back to what you were just saying, when I had sex ed in school, we were given a permission slip that had to be sent home to our parents, and it said on the permission slip, this is what your kid, this is what we're going to talk about in the class. Do you approve or disapprove? And that's the other thing. I don't even think that's happening right now. There is no permission slip because a lot of these parents don't even know what is being taught or what is going on in our schools. I've spoken to many parents. There are two parents that have asked for their kids' curriculum. They are yet to still get it. So,
yeah, it's a lot cloaked in secrecy, and I hope you bring some light to that. I've only got like a minute or two left. Do you guys got a website or anything that people can go and track what's going on and stay in touch?
We don't have a website. I do have a Facebook account, and it's called Bella Maria. That's B-E-L-L-A, and then Maria, M-A-R-I-A. That's all we have right now. We don't really have a website or anything like that.
Excellent. So well, thank you very much for coming on, you and Rich, and giving us an update. I'm going to have to nail you down for a victory party later. But thank you for that. I got music coming in. I got to wrap things up here. Thank you to all the callers today who called in. Thank you to the listeners who listened and will share the show. And thank you to RBN for giving me a couple hours to hang out with you peeps. All right. Let's stay true to your country out there. Never quit. All right. Never quit. Fly your flag high. Keep your powder dry. Love each other out there. We'll see you next week.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.